हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे। नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग दोस टू वर्सेस। नादते कस्यचित् पापं न चैव सुकृतं विभो अज्ञानेनावृतं ज्ञानं तेन मुह्यन्ति जन्तव। So, राजन् पदर्गुरुरलं भवतां यदूनां दैवं प्रियकुलपदी क्वच किङ्करो वा। अस्त्वेवमङ्गभगवान् भजतां मुकुन्दो मुक्तिं ददाति करहेजिल्स्मनभक्तियोगम्। इन् दि श्रीमद्भागवतं वैल् दट् इस् वाट् बि स्टापिङ्ग् इस् टुडे। श्रीमद्भागवतं वेर् ऋषभदेव् वैल् concluding that Rishabha charitram or the history of Rishabha Dev, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit that Muktim Dadadi Karhijal Smana Bhakti Yogam. Krishna gives mukti to many people, but bhakti, he thinks a lot before he gives it to anyone. That is the beauty of bhakti. Bhakti is not given very easily, but mukti is given a lot more freely by Krishna. Astu eva manga bhagavan bhajadam mukundo muktim dadadi karhi chalsmana bhakti yogam. Mukti is given easily, but bhakti yogam, Krishna thinks many times before he gives bhakti to somebody. Then immediately after that, Sudeva Goswami says, Nityanubhuda nijalava nivrta trishna shrayasya dadrajanaya jirasupta buddhehi logasya karunaya abhayam atma logam akhyannamo bhagavade krishabaya tasmai. Nityanubhuda nijalava nivrta trishna. He says here, Nityanubhuti, Krishna is, how do we know about Krishna? Because Krishna is present in us in the form as we experience every moment. How is that? Through this awareness that my existence, that awareness I am existing, is the only connection we have with Krishna at the moment. Otherwise we won't know about, this awareness is coming from the Chit Shakti. So that Krishna's awareness is experienced through this being always conscious of our own existence, isn't it? Our own existence, we are conscious of that. So that is Nityanubhudam. Nityanubhudam means that anubhuti of our eternity, of our existence, of eternity, Nityanubhudam. And if our attention goes there, Krishna says, Nityanubhudam nijalava nivarta trishna. So Sudeva Goswami says here, that if our attention goes on to that eternal nature of our soul, which is come present to us, experienced by us every moment in the form of this awareness, then we will get that. What will we get? Nijalabham. Nijalabham means that Nijalabha Nivrta Trishna. That means that happiness of association with the soul, which is known as Rati. Rati is the word used in the Bhagavadam for that. Rati. In the Bhagavadam, you will see at the end also, when Uddhava says to Krishna about Rati, that that Rati will happen. And if that happens, Nivrta Trishna, all other desires goes away at that point. Nityanubhuda Nijalabham Nivrta Trishna. So that labham is, what labham means? Profit, isn't it? Labham means profit. So Nityanubhudam, if our attention goes there, then we absorb in the soul, and being absorbed in the soul, we feel that Rati. And that is the profit. That profit is called, that is called bhakti. That Rati in soul is called bhakti. It may be difficult to understand this, what that means, isn't it? Because as I said yesterday, at the moment, the word Atma means only a sound to us. We don't know anything more than that, isn't it? It's just like table, chair, stool, we say, but at least we have some concept of this. But Atma is concerned, we have no idea what it is, isn't it? So that's why he says here, Nityanubhuti, the only thing your connection with the soul at the moment is this awareness all the time. Nityanubhudam. Nijalabham. Nijalabham means that profit what you get from that is, due to the connection with the soul, we will experience what is known as the bliss. So that blissful experience of the soul, that develops when our relationship with the soul is established firmly, we will experience the blissness of the soul, and that is called bhakti. That is actual bhakti, what Bhagavadam is talking about. So, Nityanubhudam Nijalabham. And when that happens, what will happen? Nivrta Trishna. Then there is no more, nothing else you want in this world. All things comes to an end there. No more further desires after that. So, Nivrta Trishna. And all desires and attachments, all other happiness in this world leaves us. And once we see Krishna in the heart, this is what seeing Krishna in the heart means, realizing the connection with the soul. And if that happens, rati, attachment to all other sense objects and other things, will leave us. Gopis mentions this. Idararaga vismaranam nranam adaravira atharamrutam, he says. Idararaga vismaranam nranam. Gopis are saying like that, raga means attachment. It is from the word ragam comes rati. Ragam. All attachment to all other sense objects leaves him, and that stage we have to get there. And for that, first thing is we have to give up this ajnanam. Ajnani enavritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. That ajnanam must go. What is that ajnanam? Ajnanam is this. Things what I am not, I am identifying with them as I am. Things I am not, I am identifying with mind, material body, intelligence, false ego. I am thinking I am all of that at the moment. At the moment I am thinking I am all these things. I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, I am this false ego. This is the ajnanam in us, or avidya as it called in the Bhagavatam. Avidya is mentioned, or ajnanam is mentioned, both. So this does not allow us to realize our proper identity as Sachidanandam. Sattachittanandam is our identity, isn't it? Sachidananda Swarupam is what we are. It does not allow us to realize what we are, this ajnanam, this ignorance in us of mind, body, intelligence, ego. So, ajnan, as Krishna is saying here, ajnanenavrutam jnanam, tena muhyanti jantava. So, ajnanam is present in us due to our grossness in us. We have become identification with the, that is ajnanam, identification with the body, mind, intelligence, ego. We are thinking we are all these things. And that's all what we know about ourselves, isn't it? So, ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. And in order to get out of this, what is the antidote, or what is the medicine for that? And that we have to take that medicine. And that is the next verse. Yanenatu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanam tesham adityavajnanam prakashayati talparam yanenatu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanam tesham adityavajnanam prakashayati talparam jnanena tu tad ajnanam yesham nashidam atmanaha tesham adityavajnanam prakashayati talparam. Translation: when, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So, jnanenatu tadajnanam yesham nashidam atmana tesham adityavajnanam prakashayati talparam. Krishna is saying here that everyone, for all of us, for us to get out of this material existence, or in other words, for liberation, purpose of liberation, the seed for that liberation is inside us. The seed is already there in our heart. And we are carrying that, we have to carry that seed all the time with us. What is that seed? That is that seed in the form of this awareness. That's that seed, an indication to us that if we accept it and cultivate it, we can get back to that situation of our real identity. That seed is present in us in the form of this awareness. Because that's the only thing what we know, that there is something beyond this body, isn't it? Otherwise, everything we think in terms of body, mind, intelligence and ego. But once we are aware of this consciousness, where is this coming from, of my existence, awareness, I am, ahamasmi, ahamasmi, I'm always there, isn't it? That doesn't leave us in all circumstances. And that is most important. And that So what's happened is that although this awareness is constantly there, we have somehow got caught up with all the other objects in this world which gives distress to us, for which we have no connection. Connection is with the soul. But instead, we have got caught up with many other things in this world which only gives us distress at the end, where we have no connection. So, in order to come out of this distress, this connection has to break with this world or with the objects in this world. And that is the ignorance. That connection with the world is our ignorance in us. Actually, we have no connection with this world. But we are feeling we have a lot of connection with this world, isn't it? Connection is actually with Krishna, with the soul, not with this material world. And this is ignorance in us. In order to give up this ignorance, Krishna is saying knowledge is required. So therefore, just like they give the example, that in a cave in the forest, a deep darkness inside, a cave in the forest, where there is deep darkness. In order to remove that darkness, there is no alternative except even if you go there and take an army with you and fight a battle there, the darkness won't go. Or if you go there with a bulldozer or something and try to remove the darkness, it won't go. The darkness will only go, suppose you take some light there and goes there, immediately the darkness goes, isn't it? A torch or any lamp or anything like that. If you take things like that inside, then the darkness goes away. Similarly, this darkness inside will not go by any other means except the power of knowledge. Because this darkness has come from the ignorance. So ignorance can only go if there is knowledge inside. That's what Krishna is saying. Jnanam tad ajnanam. Jnanam tu tad ajnanam yesham nashinam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayati talparam. Krishna says there, isn't it? So actually, as I mentioned before, jnanam is the swarupam of the soul, isn't it? It's the nature of the soul. Actually, there is no such thing as ajnanam. But what exactly is it? We feel it is there. It's a kind of a brahmam. It's a brahmam in us. To think that there is ajnanam, I am ajnani, these are brahmam actually. Brahmam means, it's a kind of misunderstanding. Brahmam means a misunderstanding. That there is, I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, I am this ego. And these are misunderstanding in us. And that misunderstanding is called brahmam here. And it's also known as ajnanam. Ajnanam and Atma, soul, cannot have any connection. Atma is like the sun, isn't it? See, when it is spoken in a devotee's language, we will see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions it, Krishna Surya Samam. That's what it means, the same thing. Soul is like the sun. Krishna Surya Samam, Maya Andhagara. So, the same thing. Surya Samam, Suryan, the sun, and darkness cannot have any relationship, isn't it? Because sun does not know what darkness means. It doesn't know that. So similarly, soul does not know what ajnanam is. Soul does not know what ajnanam is. Ajnanam is something, is a brahmam. That is a kind of misunderstanding in us because of identification with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. That's why this ajnanam has come. Because we identify with these four things, ajnanam has come to us and we are thinking that, oh, I am a sinner, I am a pious person, I am a man, I am a woman, I am this, I am that. All kinds of things has come from this four, identification with these four things. And that is called ajnanam. So that ajnanam has nothing to do with the soul. That is inside our mind, intelligence and ego and the body. So, as the sun does not know what darkness is, soul does not know what ajnanam is. Soul doesn't know that. Sun doesn't know what darkness is. Think about that. Sun does not know what darkness is, isn't it? Soul does not know what ajnanam is. Ajnanam is something what we have accepted through the mind, body, ignorance, and we are thinking, suffering. I am this, I am that. I am ignorant. I don't know anything. One day I have to work hard to become self-realized. All this misunderstanding is in our head. There is nothing. Krishna is saying here, Tesham Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayadi Talparam. That Adityaval Jnanam. Jnanam is like sun. Adityani sun. Tesham Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayadi Talparam. That soul inside us is illuminating, illumination is shining exactly like the sun, which does not know what the darkness is. Similarly, the soul inside is shining exactly the same way, in full knowledge, not knowing what ignorance is. You see? Tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. Jnanam tu tadajnanam. Krishna says there, isn't it? Jnanam tu tadajnanam esham nashidam atmana. That this, how one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nascence is destroyed. That, so that is that knowledge Krishna is saying here, that one devotee used to say, he went to his spiritual master, wanted it. Spiritual master was a self-realized soul, very self-realized soul. So when he got there, he wanted to talk to him about his distress that he is feeling himself. But when he got there, he couldn't speak about that, because he was there shining like a sun. As soon as he was in his presence, all that distress disappeared. Why? Because distress is coming from ignorance. Distress is coming from ignorance. That is where the distress is coming from. It's all the distress and happiness and all is nothing but emotions in the mind, isn't it? It has nothing to do with the soul. It's what we call that sometimes we feel distressed, sometimes we feel happy about life, all these things. So he says here, if the attention is on the soul, there is no such thing called ajnanam or ignorance. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And if the attention is not in the soul, ajnanam is always there. There is ajnanam always there. Jnanenadu sad ajnanam. How can you remove this ajnanam? Just like the darkness is removed by the light, similarly ajnanam is removed by jnanam. Ajnanam. And that jnanam, where will you get that? That's what Krishna was saying before, wasn't it? In the last chapter, he said that. Where will you get that jnanam? Tadviddhi pranibadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. That's where you get that from. Krishna also said at that time, tasmal guram prabhadyeda jityasu shreyam uttamam shabde pareja nishnadam brahman nivashama shreyam. Those two verses are. This verse is from the Upanishads, the other verse is from Bhagavad Gita. Tasmal gurum prabhadyeda jityasu shreyam uttamam shabde pareja nishnadam brahman nivashamashrayam. That is from Upanishads. And tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. That is from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying there that. Therefore, because this jnanam is necessary, tasmat gurum prabhadyeda, one should approach a spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prabhadyeda jityasu. Jityasu means one who wants to free oneself from this state of ignorance, from this darkness. Jityasu shreyam uttamam, for knowing very well what is ultimately beneficial for him. Shabde pareja nishnadam, and that spiritual master must be Shabde Pareja Nishnadam. He must be a personality who has realized the Shabda Brahmam. Shabda Brahmam means Brahmam in the sound form. Shabde, or the sound of the Vedas. In other words, he must have mastered the Vedic literature and Brahman Nivasham Ashrayam. He must be at least Brahmam realized. Brahmam realization. This is the necessity. Otherwise this won't happen, because only if there is a lamp burning there, he can remove the darkness, isn't it? So if he is not realized, he won't be able to remove the darkness from a person. Tasmal gurum prabhadyeda jityasu shreyam uttamam shabde pareja nishnadam. And shabde pareja nishnadam, pare means the absolute truth. He is Nishnadam. Nishnadam means he is completely convinced and realized that. Brahman Yubasham Ashrayam. And he is totally taken the shelter of Brahman. Or in other words, Brahman realization is there in him. Such a person, Krishna says, tasmad gurum prabhadyeda. Such a guru, one should surrender unto him. And tadvidhi pranibhadena. Then Krishna says, tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya. Pranibhadam, pariprasnam, seva. Surrender and inquiring from him and also serving him. Isn't it? Three things. Upadekshandide jnanam. And when he gives that Upadesham, Brahmopadesham, like in the Bhagavatam, it's called Brahmopadesham. Parikshit is given Brahmopadesham by Sukadeva Goswami at the end, isn't it? So it is given at the final moment by the spiritual master to the disciple. Not day one. Day one it is never given. He goes to spiritual master. Spiritual master trains him up. And eventually when he is ready, it's given. This Brahmopadesham is given at the last. When he is ready for it, it's given. And only the spiritual master know whether he is ready for it or not. Whether he is ready for it or not. So only when he is ready, it's given. Like 7 days, at the end of 7 days, Parikshit was given Brahmopadesham by Sukadeva Goswami. So similarly, here, Krishna is saying here, that tadviddhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya. When all these things have happened, at the end, upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. Tattvadarshi, one who has realized the truth, that jnani, he will give that upadesham to, brahmopadesham to him. And then the business is over. Then he is in that platform of the Brahman realization. So, Krishna mentions that. And what is that brahmopadesham? That Brahmopadesham is actually coming from the Chitshakti. From the Chitshakti of the spiritual master. And his attention will all, immediately as soon as it happens, his attention goes away to his Swarupam. All his attention goes to the Swarupam. So the attention of the disciple taking that to the his own Swarupam is called Jnanopadesham. Or Brahmopadesham, Jnanopadesham. These are different words used for the same thing. So, Jnanopadesham is taking your attention to the of the disciple to the truth. To the Vastu. Vastu means the soul. So, that Vastu means the soul. That's already there, isn't it? It's not something to come from outside. Only thing is your attention goes there. Not to teach anything. So practically you can see that this teaching has no meaning from the Vedic point of view. Teaching is not, there's nothing much to teach. Teaching is all on the mental platform or the intellectual platform. You learn something. Learning is on that level, isn't it? Through the mind and intelligence you capture information, collect it and keep it in your head, which is of no use at the end, isn't it? So teaching is like that. Teaching is not the important thing. So that's only useful only for one purpose, to become proud that I've learned this, I've learned that, and intellectual exercise, nothing else. But jnanam, jnanopadesham, is not for knowing something. Jnanam, what it does is that our attention goes to that awareness, of our awareness. That's what Jnanopadesham does. At the moment when we talk about awareness, we are only, when we talk about it, you are aware of it, isn't it? That, I am existing. Otherwise, you don't think, anytime I am existing, you never think like that, do you? We carry on doing things in this world. Identifying with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. But when that goes away and our attention is on the awareness of our existence, that I am existing, immediately the attention goes away from the body, mind, intelligence to my real awareness of my existence, isn't it? That is the existence of the soul. So that moving our attention from the body, mind, intelligence and ego to the soul and to become fixed on that is known as Atmavidya. Atmavidya. That is, if you direct that attention from this asat, from the body, mind, intelligence and ego, into the sat, which is the soul, that's what's done by Jnanopadesham. Jnanopadesham gets that done once for all. And once that happens, then Ajnanam, you move, you come out of the Ajnanam. Isn't it? From Ajnanam you have escaped. That's why Tesham Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayadi Talparam Yesham Nashidam Almanaha. Krishna says there, isn't it? Jnanenadu Tad Ajnanam Yesham Nashidam Almana. Yesham Nashidam Almana. So, Yesham Nashidam Almana. So that means Ajnanam will go. His Ajnanam will go. Ajnanam, when the Ajnanam goes away, what happens? Adityaval Jnanam. Then it is like the sun inside. The Ajnanam has gone away. Then Surya Sama is like the sun inside. Jnanam Prakashayadi. Tesham Adityaval Jnanam Prakashayadi. Jnanam Prakashayadi Adityavad. That means that Jnanam, the knowledge inside, Prakashayadi Adityavad. Like it shines like a sun inside, illuminating inside. Once that darkness leaves us, darkness of ignorance. So this happens at the very last moment with the spiritual master and the disciple. Not in the day one. Not day one, doesn't happen. So, so the soul has what is known as Swarupa Jnanam, isn't it? Swarupa Jnanam means the soul knows its full awareness, what it is. Soul is conscious of that. We lose this consciousness of body, mind, intelligence, ego, and we get that consciousness of the soul. And soul is conscious of that. So this is what the Guru Upadesha. Guru Upadesha means from the spiritual master. Shraddha goes to the Swarupam. Shraddha goes to Swarupam. At the moment, our attention is all on the Swabhavam, isn't it? Of our body, mind, intelligence, these are all our Swabhavam. And from Swabhavam, it goes to Swarupam. And that is why Krishna talked about this Sadguru of the spiritual master. It's the spiritual master who does that at the end. So, in the past also, in the ancient times, not recent times, ancient times, sages, they won't teach anything to students. They never taught anything. We think that they were all going through courses and seminars and taking certificates and all that. No, there was no such thing existed at that time. The depth of understanding was so good that the sages knew very well, especially when the student comes, he knows very well that everything what is required for self-realization is already there in him. There is nothing required to be given from outside. But what happens is, just like you can see, we are educating our children, so-called education, we are educating them, isn't it? Hundreds and thousands of things, unnecessary things, we load onto their head for nothing. Nothing, we load all these things onto their head. And at the end, he doesn't remember anything. Not only that, nothing is necessary for living in this world either. Most of the things what we study is absolutely useless. What we learn from the schools and colleges, isn't it? And it is amazing how many books are published every year in this world. And so much garbage. And we keep on doing research, and all kinds of thesis writing after that. And children going through library after library, walking through all the corridors to find out which books you should take from. Like this goes on. And in the past, the system was that we are not talking about material education even, not about spiritual teachings. And even in the material topics, material world, in this material knowledge itself, in the past system was, they decided which line he wants to go. It is taken into account in the early days itself. And only what is necessary for that line, for him to live in this world, education is given in that. Only for that purpose for which he required the knowledge to live in this world, to maintain his livelihood in that world. And that is given in a much deeper level, that knowledge, that understanding necessary to live in this world, to maintain his livelihood. in a deeper level, that is educated. That was all the material education means in the past. Now it is so many subjects and so many, telling the child that you study all these things, then make the selection what you want. That's what we tell him, isn't it? So in that process, you can see how much he has to put effort in that direction, which in the Vedic times, the sages thought it was unnecessary. There is no need for that, because the energy what you have got is limited, all of us. Our energy is limited. Only so much energy we have. If all that energy is directed for multitasking like this, then for the real purpose for which the energy is needed, it's not there. By then, he's exhausted. He doesn't have the energy. So that's why it says here that, and their policy was that what was necessary is given to them and proficiency in that, and balance time given to him to play or to make connections with the other people in this world whom he find is helpful for his development. Because contact with other people are necessary. You can't isolate yourself from this world. It is only through contact with through good people, bad people, you will get that power of discrimination. What is right and what's wrong. Otherwise, if you are just thrown, kept him aloof from everything, and one day you throw him into the deep sea, he won't know what to do. And that is why it's not a good thing to keep people, children from others. They have to have that contact with the world outside. And then that was the system in the past. Of course, the advantage those days was they were not complex like today. People had the opportunity to mix with saintly personalities and devotees and also realized souls. All those opportunity was there. So when that is not there, people tend to become very isolationist. They want to isolate from everybody. We think that by isolating them, we have solved the problem. We have not solved the problem. Because you can't isolate anybody like that. His karma will follow him at the end and capture him at some point. And the childhood is actually meant to develop this relationship with people when he grows up. And there have to be elders like that who will show them the affection, the love, and also able to understand many, many things from the elders. That's the only way the education has happening there. Not from the books. This mugging up from the books is a new thing. Those days books didn't exist. Nobody wrote books. It was not even the written form. If you want to have something, you have to sit down and write it, if you want a copy like that. Otherwise, there was nothing available in writing. Everything stayed in the brain. And it is so, therefore, the knowledge was there only acquired through by contact with others. You couldn't get it otherwise. Because its books have come about, we realize now we don't need anybody now. We can learn from the books everything, isn't it? And that's why the bookish knowledge manifests in a different way than a knowledge acquired from a person. So, but what's happening is that because of this, the child has no time for anything. No time to sleep, no time to properly eat, or no other recreation, nothing for the child. Child has no time for anything. So, this is the nature of the society, what we are talking about, isn't it? The society which is taking us along with them. And we are also so ignorant, we have no choice. We go along with the society. So, that's why we were addressed as goats in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? We were addressed as goats, isn't it? Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi. Bahuni Brahmavadinam. If you look into that chapter in the Bhagavadam, you will see that Uddhava is saying to Krishna, he's saying there that Shuava Kharam Ajam, he says there, isn't it? The Ajam is the goat. So why are the people like this, like the goats? Uddhava is saying this. So is there any surprising that when we are like this, that Uddhava has probably thought about us very much at that time when he asked that question? So, we are like that whatever others are doing, we'll just follow that. What can we do? That's the system. Everyone, whatever does, we go along with the society. In the sages, the attitude was that they will only teach very little, very few things. They'll explain to the child when the child comes to them. Because if you tell him too many things, all things about Shastram, everything, if you teach him, then his natural intelligence will go. It will not develop if you tell him everything. He has to develop in his own way. Then intelligence has to develop. Then, because if his power of the brain and the discriminating power, if he loses that, he will not have the capacity to deal with the problems in life later. He won't develop that power will go. How to deal with the problems in later. That's what happens. Because the children lose that, have lost that opportunity to associate with the elders and to develop that relationship with them. Children have no connection with the elders these days. Have you noticed? They all go their way, we go our way. They have their own, everything is on their own. They do things. It's nothing is done with the parents. Parents at the end thinks that if we can somehow keep them quiet, we have reached the goal. But this is an unfortunate situation in this world, isn't it? So why? Because of that, what happens is, they also lose that opportunity to deal with the problems in life later. And therefore what happened? Then we need counseling, psychiatrists, and everything comes later at that stage in life. We think the problem, solving problem is through counseling and psychiatrists. Psychiatrists and counseling has come only recent times. It didn't exist before. In the past, people lived in such a way that the association with the elders and that was sufficient for them to develop that understanding how to deal with the problems in life. Nowadays, what happens? As soon as they get married, and then the problem starts, and then there is no connection with the parents. Parents keep away. We don't want to get involved in your life. You stay and manage your own life because that's where he wants it. So he goes in, then the next thing, he has to go somewhere to consult somebody. Where does he go to? Go for counsel. That this counseling industry has become very big. You can see, everybody is a counselor now. That's the more interesting thing. Everyone is counseling others. The counselor himself requires counseling. And he is the one who is gone counseling everybody. Because £20 an hour or £30 an hour, whatever that is. This is all ridiculous, these things, the way things are going. What can you do? Because the society has, this is what I am saying, society is all ignorance. Society, if you follow, you will fall into ditch at the end. So that's why at some point we have to think that society cannot lead us. The one who can stay out of the society. So in Chandogya Upanishad, because when you grow up, naturally so many problems will come, diseases will come, and so various kinds of distresses will come in life. In all these situations, to deal with that, the child needs some training. What he needs is not information. The schools and colleges, what are they doing? They supply a lot of information to the child. And what this information will help? What he needs really, or the child needs, is this interaction with the grown-up people and observing them, how they are dealing with each situation. And from that, they also develop that understanding how to deal with it, deal with the problems in life. And that opportunity is never given. Opportunity is never given in the modern education system. First of all, the child has no time. We have kept him so busy with the syllabus and the targets and the pressures that the child has no time to eat and sleep or to talk about keeping any contact with the elders. So this is a big shift from the education system. Why I'm saying this is that in the previous times, the rishis knew these things will go in a default wrong direction. So in Chandogya Upanishad, there is this famous story that the a student is going to a spiritual master. And that child was born. Mother does not know who the mother didn't know who the father was. She was a dasi. A servant maid somewhere. Jabala was her name. So, and they have even forgotten to give the name to the child, because she has been working in different places and serving different men. And at that time, the child was born. She didn't know who the father was. This is the personality who is talking about Upanishads. In Chandogya Upanishad, which is one of the major 10 Upanishads, this is where the story begins from. This Jabala story. Jabala says like that forgot to even give the child a name at that time. So the child, when he go 5 or 6 years old, child naturally had a desire to become a brahmachari. He noticed that, he observed this from others, that brahmachari life is good. Even at that age, child was able to understand that, seeing other brahmacharis' life. And he got inspired by seeing that. So, from the brahmacharis, due to association with brahmacharis, he understood that they are working towards some goal. They had some goal in their life. So he also got inspired seeing them, and he wanted to find out that truth, what they are looking for. Because materialistic advancement was not the goal those days, at least the sages' time, Chandogya Upanishad's time. We are talking about time even much before Krishna's time in this world. When I say when Krishna appeared in this world, much before that, Upanishad's times, isn't it? Long, long before that. So, this little boy, 5-6 years old, he goes to his mother and tells the mother, I also want to know the truth, like the other brahmacharis have got it. So he goes and says to the mother, and mother says that then you have to go to a guru. That's how you find this out, the truth. So to go to the guru will ask various things from you. Mother knew about this, that who is your father? First thing they will ask, what is your gotram? And then what is your lineage? And then you have to pay your obeisances to the guru, and only then he will accept it. That means in those days, Brahmana children went to the for this education, isn't it? So they have to tell them the name of the father, the gotram, or the sage through on whose parampara you have come through. All these things you'll have to say. So mother, because the boy found out that all this information will be asked when he goes there. So mother comes back, and the boy comes back and says to his mother about this, that I need to know this information before I go there. So mother says, I don't know who your father is. That was a reply from the mother. All I know is my name is Jabala and your name is Satyagama. Satyagama is a name given because one who is trying to know the truth, one who is desiring to know the truth. Therefore the name Satyagama was given in the Upanishads like that. Satyagama is your name. My name is Jabala. That's all I know. I don't know anything more than that. She says to him like that. So he goes back to this spiritual master who was the sage who was present there and says to him that I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. The boy says to the spiritual master that he was a great soul. Kshatriyam Brahmanishtam, what we said before, that kind of personality. So he pays his obeisances and tells him, I want to remain as a brahmachari and learn and stay in the ashram. He says to him, give me Ubadesham, Brahmavadesham. I need Brahmavadesham from you. He says, so the spiritual master asks him, what's your name and what's your gotram? Or which lineage do you come from? He says, I don't know. The boy said, I don't know. My mother told me that my name is Satyagama and my mother's name is Jabala. Mother's name is Jabala. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. The spiritual master tells him that you are very fixed in the truth. You are very honest about it, in telling the truth as it is. Therefore, you are a first-class Brahmana. Because he has spoken the truth. Just because he spoke the truth, spiritual master certifies that he is a Brahmana. That was his qualification. And he also understood that he has got the Shraddha in him, that seriousness in him. What is that Shraddha? That some desire to know the truth. So, what did he do? The spiritual master didn't speak to him anything else after that. He says that the Shraddha is inside there. All you have to do is to leave him in the proper atmosphere. Everything will come out natural way. Everything will come out in the natural way. So, the Shraddha is just like a flame inside. It's like a small flame inside. All it requires is fanning, and the flame will glow. So, but if you start giving, like the way we do in the modern days, a lot of what do they call it? The coaching, like we do, then that Shraddha will go from inside. The Shraddha won't develop. We keep so much coaching to the children that children loses its capacity to inquire from things from others, because everything is supplied, pre-packaged food like thing, isn't it? All you have to do is to put it in the microwave, 2 minutes, heat it up and eat it. So that way it has become like that, giving knowledge also. Everything is packaged and given to the child in such a way, he has no Shraddha anymore going inside. The inquiry nature has gone away from him. So, So the principle those days was that if you throw something at him in that way, from all the information, understanding of the soul, then the genuine meditation inside will go away. The genuine meditation inside, the inquiring nature, will go away. So they never did like that. So what he did was that he had other children surrounding him, and even if you associate with them to a large extent, that Shraddha will go. Ashraddha will come to him. Therefore, he did not keep that child there. The spiritual master knew very well in what stage he is. Just by seeing the truthful statement from him and seeing his serious inquiring nature, spiritual master realized all he requires is constant absorption and everything will come out from inside. Nothing is necessary to be given from outside. So what did he do? He says to the child, "We have a few cows here. Take all these cows and go to the forest with them. When they become 1,000 numbers, you come back here. Till then, don't come back." He says to the child, imagine, 6-7 years old boy, the spiritual master is telling him, take all these cows and go to the forest and look after these cows there. And stay there with the cows. And when the number becomes 1,000, you come back here. When 1,000 cows are there, you come back here. This was the instruction to the child. And the child was so good that he takes every instruction from the spiritual master as absolute. He had so much faith and surrender in him. That is that tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya. That seva mood is such that what has been told, accept it. Then there is no doubting. Is he right in telling me this, what he has told me to do? This is not education. When there is no acceptance of the authority, and when the authority is wrong, all things can go wrong as well, isn't it? So here what you find is, in Chandogya Upanishad, this story, what it says is that the boy goes to the forest with these cows and he spends his time there with the looking after these cows. For initially, the cows and him, it took a while to develop a connection with them. The cows got used to him after some time, his way of doing things. So the cows naturally obliged him. They were grazing whole day and he was on his own in the forest. So when he was alone, he was looking at the cows and observing from them, looking at the sky, looking at the trees, looking at the other animals which were in the forest. He was looking at all of them and constantly thinking about the soul. The natural environment was creating this genuine desire in him to inquire about the truth. So there he ate the food, fruits and other things what he got from the forest. And naturally, tattva-vijaram means he started inquiring, who am I? What am I doing in this world? This deep inquiry started developing inside his heart. And where did this creation come from? And in that process, he started feeling a great peacefulness inside. Nishchalada, stillness. So in that process, he had developed some, because there was no human beings in the forest, all his relationship was with the cows, with the river, with the trees, with the animals in the forest, and he started observing them and he had a relationship with those living entities in this forest. So after many days in the forest, doesn't say how many days, but after many, many days, one day one cow comes to him, and says to him, Satyagama, we have now become 1,000. We have become 1,000. The cow says to him. And Satyagama says, normally we think cows don't speak, isn't it? But what has happened by now is that he has become Sarvabodha Hridayam. That due to his realizations, that he is him who is present in the cows, in the other animals, in the trees, in the plants, just like Sudha Goswami spoke about Sudev Goswami, Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam. Sarvabhuda Hridayam Muni Manatosmi, it says in the Bhagavatam. Sarvabhuda Hridayam means that he started realizing that it is him who is present in everyone else as the soul. That oneness of the soul is what is spoken there. So when he started experiencing that oneness of the soul in everybody, naturally what the cows were, when the cows came close to him, he started understanding what the cows was trying to tell him. It's not that it was spoken through Vaikari, through the language, through the sound. But just by the presence of the cow, he immediately realized that cow is saying to him something. Sarvabhuta Hridayam. That stage has happened to him. So at that stage, the cow is separate, I am separate. That Parichinatvam has gone from him. Parichinatvam means, remember I mentioned yesterday, that we, when we identify with the body, mind, intelligence and ego, we feel we are limited to this body. Isn't it? We feel we are limited to this body. But in reality, we are not limited to the body. Moment we fall back into our identity as the soul, soul is present in everyone. We will realize our connection with others. Soul is like Sudev Goswami realized that he is present in everyone. That's why he didn't answer. The trees and the creepers and the plants answered Vedavyasa Maharshi. So Vedavyasa understood the sun is already gone that high in realization that he, when he called Putra Putra back, Vedavyasa Maharshi called his son, who was only 15 or 16 years old, called him back, and Sudev Goswami didn't answer. Who answered? The trees and the creepers and the plants answered. Why? Because already Sudev Goswami could answer through them. He was in that stage. So similarly here, the cows had come, and as soon as the cows came, Satyagama understood that cows are telling me that we are now Thambar 1000, we can go back. This is what the cows were saying to him. This all looks completely unrealistic to us now, isn't it? Because we don't have that consciousness. We have come to this bodily identity so strongly that we cannot understand any of these things. So, why? The language of the heart is same for everybody. There is different kinds of languages. Languages, what's spoken through the mouth is the gross form, isn't it? But what is happening in the heart, heart to heart people can speak without saying one word. Without saying one word. The message gets conveyed from one heart to another heart, isn't it? So that is the same language in everyone. That's one language only. It's a universal language. Actually, we say English is universal language. English is not universal language. Universal language is this language of the heart. Everybody understands what you have in your heart. Somebody else can understand if he has got the heart to know it. So that's the thing. So that is the heart of the language of the heart. So it goes from heart to heart. So when Satyagama, when this cow came up to him and he understood that I am different, the cows are not different from me. That understanding has come to him. So the journey comes back. Journey starts back home, going back to the ashram where the sage was living. So when he was going back, a bull comes to him and gives instructions to him. Among the cows, one bull, there's bulls also in that group, bull comes and gives part instructions of Brahma. Part instruction about Brahma. Part instruction means, it's called Kala. Kala means, understanding Brahman is not complete unless a full instruction is given. Full instruction is when the Brahmopadesham happens from the spiritual master. That's the culmination of everything. The culmination of all realizations. Up to that point, it's all realizations. Not education through books or anything. All realizations. It's through realizations you reach that stage. And finally, the spiritual master gives Jnanopadesham. And that completes the process. Brahmopadesham, you come realize the Brahman. So, but this part realization is that certain aspects of the truth is instructed to him. So a bull comes, in the form of a bull, a instruction, someone instructs him. A kala, it's called. That Satyagama, this knowledge that I am existing, that is Brahman. He says, this knowledge that I am existing, that is Brahman. He says to, this bull says to Satyagama. Satyagama goes further. Fire God comes and instructs him at that time. Satyagama, there is one aspect of that, that there is something inside a person which illuminates everything. That is known as the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is that Brahman. That chit shakti is Brahman. That instruction was given by the fire god to Satyagama. So when we say, it may look, when we say all these things, our nature will be trying to immediately put mind and intelligence into it and start analyzing what does that mean. If you use mind and intelligence, you won't understand anything what this is spoken here. Here, the instruction is from heart to heart. From the heart to the heart. So, when the bull came and instructed, immediately, bull didn't speak to him. The bull came and stood in front of him. Satyama got the message. The bull is telling me that the awareness of me, all the time I am existing, that is Brahman. That is Brahman. It is Brahman. That is the part, Kala, that was instructed to him. Then the fire god, Agni, comes and Agni instructs him. Instructs how? Agni says to him, that there is something inside which is known as the chit, which continuously illuminates everything, which is known as chit shakti. That is Brahman. That chit shakti is Brahman. And then one of the wild hen comes. You know, in the chicken there is the one which is in the country where the farmers have got, and there is the wild ones in the forest. So one of the wild ones comes and instruct him another padam. That when you give attention to this awareness, you receive a kind of bliss from inside. That bliss is Brahman. Like this, different kala, different aspects of Brahman was instructed to him. And then a bird, which was like a seagull, which was flying in the sky, that comes down and instructs him another padam, another part of this instruction. Therefore, if we become fully receptive, the material nature itself will give Brahmopadesham to us. That's what Chandogya Upanishad is saying. This example is like that. That the question is first ourselves becoming receptive to the message. That is the most important thing in spiritual life. Just like Mumukshatva means this. That if you are ready for spiritual realization, that is more important than any knowledge what comes to us. The more we are ready, the material nature will provide that realization to us. That is the way the system works. That our readiness is more important than anything else. That's what Krishna is saying here. That the when Satyagama's case also, that when he got back to the ashram, after had all these experiences from the bull, from the fire god, from this wild hen, and also from the seagull, he had all these different instructions. And when he came back to his spiritual master in the forest, the spiritual master says to him, as soon as he saw him, he looked although self-realized. By seeing, he understood that, it seems. The spiritual master understood that he has already got everything what he needs to know. What he needs to know, he has already got it. So look at how intelligent that spiritual master is. That he realized this child has got all the potential in him. He has got, he is ready for full receptivity inside and full renunciation and seriousness and in the inquiring nature. And he realized that he doesn't need anything else. All you have to do is to leave him with these cows in the forest, and given time it will come out. Given time it will develop in a natural way in the child. So that has already happened, and when the boy got back, the spiritual master say, the sage says to him, Satyagama, there is nothing more to be instructed from you to you. Has anybody else given you instructions? He asked this question to him. But you seems to have realized what is to be realized in life. Then he says to him, but still, for sampradayam, for the parampara system, I have to give you some instruction, saying this, and I will instruct you, and because you have already known what is to be known. Tesham adityavalyanam prakashayati talparam. In other words, the spiritual master understood the knowledge what is required is already shining in him sufficiently well. So, therefore, and what is now required is, after you have reached that state, then you have to get absorbed in that. that absorption is necessary. When we reach that state, our absorption in that, to deepen that, is important. So, this begins, Krishna is saying that once you give attention to the soul, this process begins. Attention to the soul, this process begins. What is that process? Process is this, that in a natural way, we have the capacity to realize the self. That means if our attention is serious, if we are serious in our pursuit for realizing the truth, and if our attention on the soul is complete, then natural way, all realization will come from inside. It doesn't have to come from outside. It will come from inside. But what is required is that seriousness. Seriousness means that intense desire inside to know the truth and able to reject everything else in this world for want of this, for this purpose. That's important. That is that mumukshatvam. So mumukshatvam is what is talked about all this time. The power of mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means this intense desire to know the truth. That is mumukshatvam. You know, durlabham trayamevaidal devanugraha hedugam manishyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshrayam. Viveka Chudamani says this. There are three things which are very, very rare indeed in this world. What are they? First thing, to get a human body. That is one of the great achievements in our spiritual journey, to getting this human body, manishyatvam. Secondly, what is referred to is mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means this, that intense desire to know the truth, not to get distracted by this world, not to get distracted by the world. World is a distraction, isn't it? World is distraction. Why is a distraction? Because we will relate with the world in such a way, it will turn into sense gratification, sense enjoyment. Therefore, it is a distraction. This, as I said yesterday, we talked about Sutralpa, remember? Talked about Sutralpa, Spurti, and now we'll be talking about Jnapti, another thing. So, Spurti is that thing. When we go through the senses and make contact with the world, this soul's energy, Chitshakti, goes through the senses and make contact with the world, and they too start interacting, the sense objects and the senses. Sense objects means the world and the senses. They start interacting and it develops avidya inside. Ajnanam develops from that. So, that sense gratification, what's happening? Because of the vasanas inside. Because of the vasanas inside. So, what Krishna says is that jnanam tu tadajnanam jnanam tu tadajnanam prakashayadi yasham nashadam atmana tesham adityavajnanam prakashayadi talparam. So, in order that this knowledge, what is inside, to get firmly established, prakashayadi talparam, nishta is necessary. Nishta, steadiness in the practice of that. If we do that, that means we continue this inquiry, who am I, who am I, who am I, all the time inside, what is me, who am I? If this inquiry is constantly going on inside, then in course of time, our connection with this mind, body, intelligence, ego will break. Otherwise it won't break. Constantly now what have we done? We have identified with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. But if we keep on asking this question, who am I? That's a question everyone who is desiring for liberation has to ask all the time. Who am I? Who am I? So that question, when it keeps on developing inside, like churning the butter, from the buttermilk, we will be churning inside. In that churning process, we will eliminate the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, and from that, the cream like butter, which is the soul, will come out from this this mixture, from this the butter like thing, which is the soul, will come out from that, because what we have so far, due to our adhyasam, in the Shastram the word used is adhyasam. Adhyasam means you got used to something and you are finding it difficult to get out of it. That is adhyasam. In several lifetimes, we change the body, isn't it? We have so many different kinds of bodies in different lifetimes. Human body, 400,000 in the human variety. And prior to that, how many varieties in the animal, plants, birds, bees, we don't know. 8.4 million, they say, altogether. So through all these 8.4 million bodies, we have come through. And in all these 8.4 million bodies, all what we have thought about was body, isn't it? So that is called adhyasam. So only thing what we know today is body, nothing else. So due to adhyasam, this has happened in us like this, that identification with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. So those things requires a complete purification to come back to the identity of the soul. So it is at that time that this thing is required, this churning inside is required. So from the mind, body, intelligence and the ego, it will come out carefully, and then we will, this jnanam, knowledge what Krishna is, this jnanam what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, jnanam prakashayati. Tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayati. Adityaval jnanam prakashayati, Krishna says here, isn't it? And that is the stage what is known as aparoksha anubhuti. The word in the Shastram is aparoksha anubhuti. Anubhuti means the experience, but it is aparoksham. Aparoksham means it is direct and immediate experience. Direct and immediate experience. That is called of the awareness. Direct and immediate experience of the awareness. Now, when I say now, we are always conscious of my awareness. Again, we are understanding that with our mind and intelligence. Isn't it? So this is the problem. Whenever we say that I am conscious of my awareness, I am existing. Again, I am thinking through my intelligence, I am existing. Isn't it? So this is the problem. That awareness has to become a direct and immediate experience. That I am that. I am that. And then you have escaped from the mind-body. So there's a long way to go before we get to that stage. So, and therefore, we have to work hard on that direction to come out of this. Because at the moment, whenever say, yes, you agree that awareness is existing in me. But again, I'm expressing it through mind and intelligence, and you're also experiencing it through mind and intelligence. But it has to leave mind and intelligence and come to the proper experience without, that means that it should not be through the mind and intelligence anymore. So this is called as Ganga Snanam. If you have heard about Ganga Snanam, Ganga, people go to bathe to Ganga, isn't it? When they bathe in the Ganga, that people expect a lot of, why do people, you know, all people go to Ganga River to bathe. Why? They think that they'll get purified, isn't it? All sinful reactions will go. Thing. But that is in one level, understanding like that. Because if it is like that, all the buffaloes and all the elephants or other animals which are bathing in the Ganga River also get purified like that. But it doesn't happen that way. They are still the buffalo when after they come out from the Ganga River, they are still the same buffalo. There's nothing has changed. So actual Ganga Snanam means bathing in the river Ganga is actually for Chitta Shuddhi. It helps for Chitta Shuddhi. Purifying our inside. But after that, there is another bathing. It is in the bathing in this knowledge. Bathing through this knowledge. And that is what is the real bathing. So first bathe through the Ganga River to bathe to consciousness for our purification of the impure vasanas to go away from inside. After that, Manonivrti Paramoba Shanti Sa Tirthavariya Manikarnigacha Jnana Pravaha Vimaladi Ganga Sa Kashigaham Nija Bodharupam. Ajari Swamiji wrote this while he was there in the banks of River Ganga. She says that Manonivrti Paramoba Shanti, my mind which is constantly agitated has to come to a Shanti stage, peaceful stage. Sa Tirthavariya Manikarnigacha. Manikarniga Ghat in Banaras is very famous. You know, there are, when you go to Banaras, you will see so many ghats there. And Manikarniya ghat is a very historic place. And I that is where many incidents in the Puranas are mentioned there. Banaras is one of the most historical places in the Vedic tradition. Everything is centered around Banaras. Banaras, all the knowledge, realized souls, many, many personalists, impersonalists, all of them are there. So traditionally, historically, even if you are advanced in spiritual life, if you want to establish your philosophy properly in the Vedic society, you have to go to Banaras and debate with the scholars there. Including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, didn't he? For this reason only. Because Banaras is the place where all the great traditions converge there. If you go to Banaras, you will see there, all traditions are there. Impersonalists, Advaitis, Dvaitis, Vishishtadvaitis, Kevaladvaitis. Everyone have their own, branches or offices, whatever it is. They're all there on the banks of this Ganga River there. And there are various bathing ghats there. Many, many great personalities lived in Banaras. Sridharacharya Swamiji, who wrote his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he lived in Banaras. That's where he wrote the commentary. And after writing the commentary, that deity there in Bindu Madhava, deity, Radha Bindu Madhava, that Bindu Madhava approved this Srimad Bhagavatam commentary by Sridharacharya Swamiji. And there is a lot of stories connected with that. So he lived there, and many other, Swami Ramananda, who was Kabir's spiritual master, he lived in Banaras. There are so many like that. Vedavyasa Maharshi has his own ashram there in Banaras. So a lot of discussions happened there. Banaras University is famous in recent times. But prior to that also, Banaras is so well known. So therefore all acharyas goes there. Ramanujacharya went there, Madhvacharya went there, Shankaracharya went there. All acharyas, Vallabhacharya spent a lot of time there. His parents were there. Vallabhacharya grew up there. So you can see, Banaras as it is very well known, isn't it? So Manigarniya Ghat is one of the ghats, bathing ghats there. Also historically very important place. So he says here, Acharya Swami says here, Mano Nivati Paramoba Shandi Sa Tirtha Varya Manigarniya Cha And Yana Pravaha Vimaladi Ganga Sa Kashigaham Nija Bodharubam. After bathing in the Ganga River, you should bathe in this knowledge of the soul, he says. Nija Bodharubam. Bodharubam means this awareness of the soul. You should bathe in that. Yasyamidam kalpidam indrajalam charajaram badi manovilasam sachit sukhega paramatma rubam sakashigaham nija bodharubam. Acharya Swamiji says that after this bathing in the Ganga River, what should happen is the mind which is going external all the time, it should start going back inwards. Inward looking. It should become inward looking. Withdrawal. Going into withdrawal inwards. That leave aside all the external sense objects and it should go back to the soul and find its permanent residence there in the soul, the mind. The mind. In other words, that stillness should happen inside. Banaras is a famous place for these things. What they have experienced in different places. And absorbing in that stillness is bathing in Manikarniya Ghat. When you go to Banaras, you will see, in same Ganga River, they will bathe at different places. In different ghats, they will go and bathe in the same river. So, Manikarniya Ghatam, that stillness inside is what? Bathing in the Manikarniya Ghat. This is Acharya Swamiji's statement about that. So, what he says is here, in Jagrat, Sutnam and Sushupti, in all these three states, that Sakshi, that witness, which is present in the form of this awareness inside, and that is the same thing which goes into the fourth state, which is known as Turiyam, in the Samadhi state. It is the same person. So, and that personality, when he gets there to the fourth state, he is the Vishwanath of Kashi, or Lord Shiva's position. Is that the fourth state, what is referred to. So, so finding out, because these things are spoken purely from a spiritual position. That means, as a soul, if you observe, the soul in Krishna, the soul in Shiva, the soul in everyone is the same, isn't it? It's the same. So in Kashi is addressed as Vishwanath, in Vrindavanam is addressed as Krishna. So when we approach him from purely on a spiritual angle, what we have to understand is this, that the soul is addressed another places as Shiva. Some places it's addressed as Krishna. Paramatma is Krishna, isn't it? Through Srimad Bhagavatam we go, we understand it is Krishna. So whatever that is, the soul is soul, that is spirit, isn't it? Atma. That Atma, which is a witness in Jagral, Swapnam and Sushupti, when it comes to the Samadhi state, in the fourth state, that's him. Then there is no Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti there. He has got released from these three states of existence. When you are under the influence of the three states, Srimad Bhagavatam says this. It is in the Bhagavatam. He is known under three states in three different names. Vishwan, Taijasan and Prajna. They are the three names given to the same soul who in the Turiyam state is in the realized state where he becomes himself that. But when he is under the influence of Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti or these three states of existence, he is called as Vishwam, Tejasam and Prajnam, according to that particular state. So, Gaya, after performing this bathing in Ganga River, people go to Gaya to perform their Shraddha ceremony. Gaya Shraddham. It's famous, isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony. So, what is Gaya in the spiritual terms? Bhakti, devotion and that Shraddha, seriousness is Gaya. So, if you have sufficient Bhakti and Shraddha, after bathing in this knowledge of the soul, one should have that sufficient Bhakti and Shraddha. That means you have performed your Gaya Shraddham, ceremony there. So, Prayag is the place where Prayagam is also close by from there, isn't it? Where you go to Prayag, where all the three rivers meet, the Triveni. That is there. So, constantly meditating on the lotus feet of the spiritual master, that is the Prayagam. Prayaga state is constantly meditating on the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Swatma Tirtham, Ajahn Swamiji calls it that. The awareness inside of my nature, what I am, that awareness of me, and that is by nature peaceful existence, Shanti. Shanti is the very nature of that. And Atma Tirtham, that experience of that, is the Tirtham what you take in terms of the soul. You're drinking the soul inside. That is that Tirtham, he says there. And intelligence must be engaged in bathing in the knowledge of that soul. In the knowledge of the soul. So that is what that two words meaning, what Krishna is saying here. Jnanenandu tadajnanam esham nashinam atmanaha. It means that, I know all these things what I have spoken, I don't know what all has gone through your mind at this stage, but what Krishna is saying here is that jnanenandu tadajnanam esham nashinam atmanaha. That jnanam inside must be practiced. In other words, inquiry should become intense inside about the soul. Basically, that's what it means. But it is spoken in a very literary language like that, how different acharyas have spoken about it. That is, while Kashi Panchakam, he wrote five verses about Banaras when Acharya Swamiji was there. When he went there, he met Vedavyasa Maharshi. And he was supposed to leave his body when he was 16 years old. But after discussions with Vedavyas extended his life another 16 years. From 16 he became 32. So he left his body at 32. So it is during those 16 years he wrote his commentary on Brahma Sutram and Bhagavad Gita in Banaras. And there was a discussion between Acharya Swamiji and Vedavyas about the commentary what he wrote. And there was a lot of arguments. And Acharya Swamiji's one disciple was standing there and he says to both of them, to Vedavyas and to Shankaracharya, Shankaram Shankaracharyam, Shiva has come like this in this form of Shankaracharya. Keshavam Bhadarayanam, Vishnu has come in the form of Vedavyasa Maharshi. Sutra Bhashya Kridav Vande, and they are discussing this conflict, a very complicated subject of Brahmasutram. Bhagavanda Puna Puna, what am I supposed to do here? He says, I don't understand what this discussion is all about. So all these things have happened in Banaras. So Banaras is historically such a famous place that that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, for this reason only, that he also knows that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that, I have to, in due course of time, this knowledge became too much that people have lost that feeling for the personal worship of Krishna. And that's why Mahaprabhu took this position that I have nothing to do with your dry philosophical conclusions and moved on to the personal form of worship. And he brought that back into their life again through this discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati there. How important it is not to give up this personal relationship with Krishna. That was Mahaprabhu's mission. Ajahn Swamiji's mission was something different. His mission was to establish the authenticity of the Vedic knowledge. It was at that time that Buddhism has spread far and wide. The two major religions in Bharatavarsham at that time was Buddhism and Jainism. Both of them were Vedic. They have no Vedic support. Vedic literature has no supporting them. Although Buddha and Jaina has appeared in the Vedic tradition, they have gone against the Vedic tradition by presenting their philosophy. So, to bring the public back into Vedic tradition again, Acharya Swamiji had to bring back the authority of all the Vedic literature again. So he wrote so many books on that basis, and this debate with the Vedavyas, and brought back Vedanta philosophy into life. Advaitam has come from that. And when that philosophy became, over a period of time, got corrupted in different ways, simply people got absorbed in studying and debating each other, forgetting about that the relationship with Krishna is more important. Without that, all this is no meaning. Mahaprabhu comes there and introduced the Krishna consciousness there. So all these things are happening in Banaras all the time. We don't have to think one is our friend, one is our enemy. They are all in that process going on as a progressive level. So he wrote these five verses, and he mentions this, Manonavrti Paramova Shandi, Sa Tirthamarya Manikarnigaja, Jnana Pravaha Vimaladi Ganga, Sa Kashigaham Nijabodha Rupam. So it is after that, what we say here is that Krishna is saying here, so all these parts are related to that discussions, that Jnana Tadajnanam Esham Nashinam Atmana. Atma, or the soul, has to be realized, And in order to realize that, jnanam is necessary. Jnanenadu tadajnanam yasham nashiram atmanaha. Atma will shine when that jnanam shines. The same thing can reach, same state can come purely through bhakti. Purely through bhakti also. Provided that bhakti is proper bhakti Krishna is talking about. Bhakti means what? I mentioned this before. Bhakti means only one thing, sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender. Surrender is the key to bhakti. Shraddha is the key to knowledge. Shraddha is the key to knowledge, and shraddha means attention, isn't it? Attention is the key to knowledge, and surrender is the key to bhakti. You will see in Mahabharatam, remember I mentioned this last Sunday also, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, what do you find? The history of the surrender of the great devotees, isn't it? That's what Bhagavatam is all about. Their surrender. That's the history. So you can see from that, surrender is the key to bhakti. Not all the show what we make, all that is secondary. Primary thing is how much we are surrendered to Krishna. That is the key to bhakti. Kunti Devi. Starting with Kunti Devi. Bhishma. Isn't it? And then you look, Gopis. Uddhava. Uttaradevi. Draupadi. Vritrasura. And Akrura, many others like that. You look throughout Ambarish Maharaj, every single, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlada, each and every one of them, if you look into their history, you will see ultimately they come and surrender to Krishna. So the surrender is the success in bhakti. The key to bhakti is that surrender. And what does surrender mean? That's also another question, isn't it? In the modern times, in our society, it is 50%. We give 50%, we have surrendered. 50% you can keep and 50% you can give, you have surrendered, they say. There is a discussion like that. Somebody else thinks that if I've joined the institution, I've surrendered. Actually, surrender is more than all these things. Surrender is something, a very special thing, that surrender. When, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, one place Krishna is saying, Udharedalpana Atmanam. You have to elevate yourself, he says. You have to work for that. At the other end, Krishna is saying, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Vraja. Also Krishna says, in the same Bhagavad Gita, in two different places. So, people think that, how do I surrender then? All other things I don't have to worry, I'll just surrender. I've surrendered now. I say to Krishna, I've surrendered. But I've not surrendered. Really, I've told Krishna, I've surrendered to you. And then he's thinking, why all these problems are coming to me when I've surrendered to him? That's the question, isn't it? In Ramanuja tradition, they have a system like that. They have a ritual ceremony for surrender. Prapatti they call it, Sharanagati, surrender. They have a ceremony for that. And they will do the ceremony, and then they'll come back and say, I've done all this ceremony, then why am I suffering like this? They'll ask. Ceremonies won't make you surrender. Surrender is that thing that, to accept that, anything what happens in this world is handing over your body and the mind to Krishna. Body as well as the mind to Krishna is surrender. That means, once you hand it over, you have no right over it, isn't it? You have no right over the body. If anything happens to this body, you should not complain about the body. Oh, this is, you have given me this, and then complaining to Krishna, why you have given this to me? That, if you are saying that, then you are not surrendered. That's what it means. If anything happens to this body, which you have handed over to Krishna, let Krishna do what he wants with this body. If the body remains healthy, fine. Use it in Krishna's service. If the body gets sick and it cannot do anything, you should not think that Krishna has done this to you. It's Krishna who is doing it with this body. I have no complaints about it. It is Krishna's property. To that extent, if you can accept it, then you have surrendered the body. Then you have surrendered the body. Up to that point, you cannot say you have surrendered. Till the point when you say that, okay, because Krishna has given this body to be looked after, you have to look after that. But that look after should not go beyond a limit. Just going for every 3-4 holidays in a year and 4-5 massages in all Ayurvedic traditions, all this is a bit far. But, too far. But what I'm saying is that surrender means this. That how to surrender? Surrender means it is Krishna who controls everything after that, after the surrender. You are not in control of anything as far as the body is concerned. Secondly, the mind. The surrendering the mind means, mind, even if you surrender, after surrender, it will start showing its true colors still. It is not going to go away. Even when that happens, you should be able to think that I have handed over this mind to Krishna. Let Krishna do what he wants with it. Anything what happens to it, I'm not going to bother. It's not in my hands. So that helplessness state, as far as body is concerned, as well as the mind is concerned, is called Sharanagati. It's called Sharanagati. And same thing applies to intelligence also. Never to apply intelligence in anything. Let Krishna does what he wants to do with the mind and the body. If one can come to that state of consciousness, then you can say he's making in the progress in the path of Sharanagati. Otherwise, any other things won't help. Sharanagati's main principle is this surrender. Sharanagati means surrender. So, you look at Bhagavatam in this way, through the eyes of Sharanagati to all these devotees. Prahlada's surrender well known, isn't it? What all he did to him, Hiranyakashipu, never protested anything. If this is what Krishna wants, fine with me. That was his position. So much torture from Hiranyakashipu, and eventually when Narasimha Murthy appeared, others were frightened to go to him. Who? Brahma, Shiva, seeing this famous form of Narasimha. They were all frightened to go closer to him. At that time, Prahlada says, I am not frightened. I am not frightened, he says. Why is that? That is because of Sharanagati. That surrender. He was so surrendered that nobody could surrender more than that. To such a degree he was surrendered. So he says, when I am surrendered like this, Where is the question of fear in me? Fear is coming from not being able to surrender. That's where the fear is coming from. Because he was so surrendered, he says, there is no fear in me anymore. Naham bibe majrade di bhaya anagasya. It says in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? So, naham bhayam, he says, I have no fear anymore because I have so surrendered to you. Now, where is the question of fear? You won't do it, you will protect me. And that strength from inside, that is Sharanagati. Same thing with Dhruva Maharaj laments about it, that I didn't surrender that way, to that degree. And still he want. I had sense gratification desires in me to become the king. That was a problem I had, he says there. So, Dhruva and Prahlada. Then you look at gopis. Gopis were so surrendered. You can see surrender of the gopis is so well known. Isn't it in the Bhagavadam, chapter after chapter, Sudeva Goswami is talking about the gopis. Gopis surrender, you can see when they were invited to come for the Rasa dance. And Krishna tells them to go back home and to look after the children, the parents, old people and others. Gopis are asking a question there to Krishna. Gopis are asking, you are the soul of everyone. And if we don't serve you, what value has all this morals got? And Krishna recognizes and says to them, their courage that you were able to give up family life for the which is so important for them. That family connections, the children, the husbands, the elder members of the family, all that connection you were able to give up for my happiness. You were able to do that. That was their degree of surrender. So you can see, looking into all their activities, in this gopis' activities particularly, how surrendered they were to Krishna. That they didn't consider anything in this world more important. They gave up their association with their own family members, knowing very well that they could be subjected to a laughter if Krishna has abandoned them. So when they came to Krishna, they didn't bother about their own family, their own bad name that they may get in the society. Nothing mattered to them. They were surrendered to Krishna. That is surrender. That not keeping something behind and surrendering, but leaving everything, all shelter in this world, and surrendering to Krishna. So that is gopi surrender. Ambarish Maharaj surrender, you have seen when Durvasava Maharshi comes and started giving hell to him through that experience. So Ambarish sat there and looked at Sudarshanam and prayed to Sudarshanam that if you want to protect me, you protect me. That is surrender. And Ambarish was the king, emperor of the planet at that time. So like this, surrender means not taking shelter of anything else in this world, completely under Krishna's shelter, able to offer the mind, body, everything to Krishna. That is surrender. Not through the lips, but in reality, in real experience. Same thing you will notice with Kunti Devi and also with other personalities like Uddhava. Uddhava also says at the last minute, Namaste stu mahayogin prapannam anushadhimam yathatva charanam boje ratisyal anavayini. These are the last words what Uddhava has spoken to Krishna while leaving for Badrinath. Namostude mahayogin, addressing Krishna as mahayogi. Yogi among the head of all the yogis. Yogeshwareshwara is called. Yogeshwaras are there. He is Yogeshwareshwara. He is the topmost yogi. All yogis get their strength from Krishna. So he says to him, Namostu de mahayogin prapanna manishadhimam. After hearing Ekadasha Skandam, this is what Uddhava had to say to Krishna. Prapanna manishadhimam. I am prapannam. I am now surrendering unto you. There is nothing I want to keep separately from you. No separately any program I have anymore in me. That was the degree of surrender in Uddhava. Prapannamanishadhimam yadha tvacharanam boje radisyal anavayini. And let me feel the attachment to your lotus feet, to Krishna's lotus feet. Tvacharanam boje rati. Rati is that word. From ragam it comes rati. Then let me experience that happiness of your lotus feet. Radisyal, and let that be anabhayini. Anabhayini means one does not get broken away once again. Let it not break away anymore. That means continuously let that happen to me. These are the last words what Uddhava says to Krishna. So ultimately all ends up in surrender. So surrender is the goal at the end. This is as far as Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned. Now, if you look into Ramayanam, the famous surrender of whom? Vibhishana surrender. Have you heard that? Vibhishana surrender. Sharanagati, Vibhishana Sharanagati is an important topic in the Ramayanam. How Vibhishana surrendered to Ramachandra. Vibhishana told Ravana that don't fight with Ramachandra because you're going to get killed. And also what you have done is a completely wrong thing by taking Sita Devi away from there. Ravana won't have any of that. He won't listen. He thought Vibhishana is his enemy now. So at that point Vibhishana realized that he has no more shelter there. And Ravana is not going to listen to him. And Vibhishana didn't want to upset Ravana anymore there. So he decided to leave. While leaving he left his wife, children, everybody there in Lanka. And he came to see Ramachandra. When he came to see Ramachandra, he knew very well, Ramachandra may or may not accept me. Where is the guarantee that he will accept me? He doesn't know that, doesn't it? He doesn't know. He thought, if Ramachandra reject me, what will happen? I can't go back to Ravana. Ravana will kill me if he comes back here. So you can imagine Vibhishana's state of mind. At that time, he has left all shelter here, and the new place, he doesn't know whether he will have any shelter or not. He's going in that state, going there. So three Rakshasas also went along with him. I mentioned this story before, if you remember. Three Rakshasas joined Vibhishana and went to see Ramachandra. When he went to see Ramachandra, Ramachandra consulted everybody there. What should we do with this man, with this Vibhishana? Should we accept him, or should we lock him up, or should we send him back with some message for Ravana? All kinds of discussions started. Vanaras were all there. All Vanaras were present there. One Vanara said, we should not accept him. He said, he is probably come as a spy, to spy and find out what's happening here. We should not accept him. Then Ramachandra asked another Vanara. Another Vanara said, well, we should accept him, but we should question him, like the police does. We should have thorough interrogation of this person and find out what his motives are. And then only we should accept him. Another Vanara said like this. Then Ramachandra asked somebody else. So another person said to Ramachandra that we should accept him, but we should employ a spy to watch him all the time. If he has really come to our shelter or not, has joined our group or not, we should always keep an eye on him. We should engage somebody like that. Ramachandra heard all that also. And then Ramachandra asked Sugriva. Sugriva says to him straight away, no, we should not accept him, he says. So Ramachandra asked him why? Because he is a person who has willing to betray his own brother for his own shelter. Doesn't look that he has got very strength of character. When Sugriva said this, Ramachandra looked at Lakshmana and smiled, didn't say one word. Seeing Sugriva's statement, that smile, Valmiki doesn't say anything after that. He says he just smiled at Lakshmana. That was enough. Meaning that this Sugriva has done exactly the same thing. His own brother Bali, he has got him killed by Ramachandra. That is how much he was attached to his brother. And he is talking to Ramachandra now about Vibhishana's brotherly affection to Ravana. So Ramachandra laughed seeing all these things, these kind of advices from him. What did Ramachandra do straight away? He called all Vanaras and immediately asked coronation of Vibhishana as the king, straight away. In there, there's only in Ramayanam you'll find two coronations. One Sugriva's coronation, another one is Vibhishana's coronations. In Sugriva's coronation, Ramachandra didn't go for the coronation. He got it done through Lakshmana and through other monkey, vaneras who were present there. Through them it got done. But before Sugriva was coronated, coronation was done. I'm saying this to understand the difference between the two coronations. Before Sugriva's coronation, Sugriva has made this agreement with Ramachandra. But Ramachandra thought, this man, I will get him coronated, but before that he has to be probably sorted out. So he made Bali to punch him enough so that the ego goes away from inside. Otherwise it was not going to get rid of, it was not possible to get rid of the ego from that Sugriva. Sugriva was a personality like that. A lot of ego inside. And he used to come to Ramachandra in this mode. Look, I give you something and you give me in return something. This was Sugriva's mood, like we all have, isn't it? I do this for Krishna, Krishna do this for me. The same mentality. Sugriva also had the same thing. Expecting in return, surrendering something. That is the problem. Expecting in return something and then surrendering. So Sugriva's mood, so that is why Sugriva had to be sorted out first. So deliberately Ramachandra won't kill Bali. So not only that, Sugriva wanted to test Ramachandra, is he capable of killing Bali? So that's why, you remember in Ramayanam you will see that Ramachandra had to shoot an arrow and destroy seven trees, Saptasalam they are called. That seven trees had to be destroyed by one arrow. And Ramachandra had to prove that he was capable. Then there was one buffalo or something who has to be kicked by the toe. And Ramachandra had to prove that he had the strength in him. So Sugriva expected Ramachandra to prove that he is capable of fighting Bali in Sugriva's eyes. So with all these reservations, Sugriva is coming to take shelter of Ramachandra. Or in other words, making these agreements with Ramachandra for his battle with Bali. Anyway, so Ramachandra also thought, because he has not got that trust or surrender, let him come to that state when he will come to surrender. So first his ego has to go. So for deliberately, he put Bali to beat up Sugriva quite a lot. Before, till Sugriva got completely exhausted and came back to Ramachandra requesting him do something about it. Only then Ramachandra eventually took the initiative to kill Bali. That was like that. But when it happened to Vibhishana, it was a different scenario. Vibhishana was such a person that when Vibhishana surrendered, seeing that surrender mood, that he was able to give up his family, brother, and all shelter in Lanka, and coming to him, not even knowing whether he will be accepted or not, coming like that, that actually moved Ramchandra's heart. And that is why Ramchandra said, I don't have to think about anymore anything. He has surrendered. And once somebody who has surrendered, it is my guarantee that I will have the shelter. He will have the shelter here. And so therefore Sugriva couldn't say anything. And this proposal to give shelter to him has come from Anjaneya Swami, from Hanuman. So Hanuman was there, Sugriva was there, other vanaras were there. They all gave different advices. But it's only Hanuman who said to Ramachandra that he is completely surrendered unto you. We should give him shelter. It came from Hanuman. So Valmiki says this, that Vibhishana Sharanagati, Vibhishana surrender is well known in the Ramayana. Ramanujacharya was discussing this in Srirangam, this Vibhishana Sharanagati. Ramanujacharya was a famous speaker on Ramayanam. He could speak hours and hours on Ramayanam and bring all the beautiful pastimes of Ramachandra. So when he was talking about Vibhishana Sharanagati, all his disciples were sitting there, listening to him. And that was a salsangam they had there. And Vibhishana Sharanagati was discussed in very much, in threadbare, in very detail. Ramanujacharya was talking about it. And thousands of people, disciples, were sitting there and listening to him. Suddenly, someone who was sitting very close to him got up and walked out from there, from the group. He got up and walked out from there. He just got up and he shook his dhoti like this and went away from there. So, which was pretty rude thing to do, that somebody is talking to you very seriously something and you suddenly get up and walk out from there. It doesn't look very proper, isn't it? So when he did that, Yamanacharya stopped talking and said to him, what happened? Why? That Brahmana who was leaving, he says to Yamanacharya, Vibhishana has given up all the connection with Lanka, family connections, society, and his own brother Ravana, who had given him so much shelter, protection, everything. He gave up all of that and came to Ramachandra for shelter. And instead of accepting him straight away, Ramachandra puts him through all these tests, asking this person, that person, that person, that person, what do you think, what should we do with him? If a person who has surrendered so much, if this is how Ramachandra is going to deal with him, what chance have I got, he says. I thought that was a beautiful statement from him, our real statement. When somebody leaves everything in this world, completely, all connection with this world, attachment to the world, shelter in this world, whatever you think is giving some happiness to us, all that you have given up in this world, no shelter at all. And he has come, Vibhishana, like that, and Ramachandra is putting him through all this kind of interrogation and tests. So if it is like that, me, who have not even surrendered anything, I have no choice, chance here, he says. So I don't want to waste my time sitting here. And I got up and walked out from there. The manager says to him, no, come back, he says. Come back and sit here, he said. You know something, he says to this Brahmana. And says, when Vibhishana left Lanka, with him, Rakshasas also came with him. These three Rakshasas, what they did was, they came with Vibhishana, and when Vibhishana was given shelter, they were also, because they were with him, they were also given shelter. So, you should be like that, he says. You may be like that, doesn't matter. But if you are in the association of devotees, you will escape somehow. With them, you will also get through. You don't have to that. Everyone has to be individually qualified. Ramanujacharya made a joke of this thing, saying that be in the association of devotees, you will not be lost. You will survive in spiritual life. But if you lose this, thinking that, oh, I'm not qualified, I'm not going to happen. No. When Krishna is putting a package together, you will also get involved in the package through. You will get through that. Ramanuja says like that to him. So the point I was making is that Sharanagati is a thing that it is not easy. And bhakti means nothing but Sharanagati. This acceptance of that Krishna is a controller, I have no control on anything. That is bhakti. Jnana means shraddha. Attention is always on the soul. Attention is always on the soul. Either way, either to jnanam or bhakti, you will reach to the same state of the realizing the self. So, that's what you are talking about here. Tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. Prakashayadi talparam. So, mind, intelligence. So once this, through jnana margam, you come to this understanding. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this ego. Important thing is, always our attention should be on the soul. Therefore, we have to tolerate everything in life. Whatever happens, we have to learn to tolerate. And internally, the surrender mood should be there. Internally, the mood of surrender should be there. These two things together, Krishna is saying here, that once you have this awareness of existence, who I am as the soul, in order to make that a nishtha, nishtha means that steadiness in that, therefore we have to involve in dhyanam, the meditation process. Krishna is slowly taking us to the next chapter, dhyanam process. So dhyanam is necessary. Why? After reaching this state, atmavit, then Atmavit has to become Atmarati. Atmarati means actually relishing that, the knowledge of the soul. Atmavit, relishing the knowledge of the soul. So, giving attention to the soul is one thing. But engaging in, absorbed in the soul is another thing. That is called Atmarati. Atmarati means being absorbed in the soul and relishing that. The Atmavid, one who has realized the soul, he will still continue to do many activities in this world. Vyavaharam will continue with him. But always attention will be on the soul, even if he is doing the Vyavaharam. But Atmarati, but it's not necessary that he is always absorbed in the Rati. Rati means that the happiness from the soul. So, Shraddha is there in the Atma. Shraddha is there in the Atma. But even after that, how to get absorbed in that Atma Rati? That's what Krishna says in the next verse. Translation. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. He has reached that state already, that there is no more blocks on the way. All he's been cleared from everything. Tad buddhaya, tad atmana, tad nishta, tad parayana, gachandi apunar avrutim, jnana nirdhuda kalmasha. So here, if we look at that verse, jnana nirdhuda kalmasha, he says there, isn't it? Tadbuddhaya, tadalpmana, tannishta, talparayana, gachandya, vuniravartim, jnana nirdhuda kalmasha. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, these words, Krishna says here, that jnana nirdhuda kalmasha. What does it mean? Nirdhuda kalmasha means keeping our attention on our swarupam, on our identity, and cleaning up the swabhavam, changing the swabhavam. That is called nirdhuda kalmasha. Nirdhuda kalmasha means that. Nirdhuda kalmasha means attention is on the soul, but simultaneously we are changing our swabhavam, the nature, our character, our habit, or our swabhavam, in other words, swabhavam, changing the swabhavam. That's what is expected from us. Attention should always be on the soul, and constantly we have to modify the swabhavam. Swabhavam changes always, isn't it? We talked about that. So, tad buddhaya tad atmanam, tan nishta tal parayana, gachandya vuniravartim jnana nirdhuda kalmasha. And that cleaning up process, kalmasham is swabhavam. Again, another word for swabhavam. So, what does it mean? Prakriti, swabhavam is also prakriti. And kalmasham. Kalmasham means ka-la-ma-sha. It's a word is come like this. Ka means kamam krotham. Is ka. La is lobham. Ma is moham. Madam, malsaryam. This is all ma. And sha is shadvargam. Shadvargam means the six things. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. What that means is, kamam is lust. Kamam, krotham. Krotham is anger. Lobham is greed. Moham means delusion. Isn't it? Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham. Madam means the pride inside. Matsarya means to compete with each other all the time. These six things, kama, krodha, lobha, moham, madam, matsaryam, that these six things are the kalmasham, the shadvargam. Ka, la, ma, sha. kalmasham. That's why it is called. So Krishna says here that tesham tadbuddhaya tadatmana tannishta talparayana gachandi punaravrutim jnana mrdhuda kalmasha. So through jnanam or through this knowledge, realization of the knowledge, it can be done in both ways, either through jnanam or through bhakti. If the bhakti is very high, that means if there is a lot of sharanagati inside, that is the same thing that will get rid of these things inside. Or through jnanam, jnana nirdhuta kalmasha. Through jnanam one can remove that. This kalmasham can go. So, kalmasham is another thing, another symptom of the ego inside, ahankaram inside. Is this kalmasham? It's a condensed word, that's all. It's a condensed word. So, ahankaram or the false ego inside is like a balloon. And you are pumping up that balloon with all these six things. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. It's the air inside this ahankaram. False ego inside is like a balloon. And that balloon, you are pumping the air into it. And the air is these six things. Kama, krotha, lobha, moham, madam, malsaryam. So, kalmasham, if kalmasham goes away completely, then atmanubhavam, the experience of the soul, will be there in a natural way. It is only, that is all the avidya, anajnanam, what we call it is, all these things. So, wiping out this with knowledge, wiping out this knowledge of our vasanas inside, or our subhavam inside, that is what Krishna is talking about, jnana nirdhuta kalmasha. Jnana nirdhuta kalmasha means wiping out these impurities inside, these six things, which are filled into the balloon called a false ego, and that is inside, that has to be thrown away. And for jnana nirdhuta kalmasha, Krishna says, wiping it out, all the vasanas inside. It is all vasanas, all these six things what we are talking about is nothing but vasanas inside. So how cleaning up that is, and that is what is more important. So when that is done, inside becomes very pure. And always there is happiness. Anda sheetalaha. That sheetaladaha, that is only happens due to the mercy of the spiritual master. Mercy of the spiritual master. Though, so from the yogic point of view, yogis say, you know this thing called nadi? Nadi means, I don't know what the English word for nadi is. Nadi is the nerves, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, nerves. Nerves inside. I think it is nerves, veins, isn't it? Veins. Eh? Veins? No, veins are different. Pulse. Veins, nerves, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it is the nerves is the closest one for nadi. According to Yoga Shastram, there is 72,000 nadis in this body. 72,000, they say. It's a science related to this nadi. Nadi Shastram, they call it. Nadi Shastram. There's different sages in their traditions. Bharadwaja Maharshi's tradition, there is one Nadi Shastram. Agastya, that is famous in the north. In Punjab and other places, that's famous. People go there and they will tell you, based on the Nadi Shastram, your past and all that. Past life, what you were, and what the future will be and things like that. Then there is also Nadi Shastram coming from Agastya Maharshi's tradition, which is more popular in the south. So in this Nadi Shastram they say there is 72,000 nadis in the body. So, and out of that, 100 of them carry very powerful Vishayavasana. Vishayavasana means sense enjoyment, sense gratification. The 100 nadis in them, which are very capable, which are very the carriers of our all sense enjoyment. 100 of them do that out of the 72,000. And there is another 100 which are very, 101 nadis, which are very important for spiritual realization. This is known to the yogis who are going in the Ashtanga Yoga process. But there are not many people who have that knowledge. So much about the Nadi Shastram these days, it's all turned into a lot of commercialization also. This is way back in the history, isn't it? All these things have happened. So there is one Nadi which is called Amrita Nadi. Amrita Nadi is linked from the heart to the Brahmarandram. Brahmarandram is the hole here. through which the soul escapes when it's liberated. It breaks the scalp here, and through a hole it comes out. So there is one nadi from the heart connected to that Brahmarandram. The soul moves through that nadi to Brahmarandram from the heart. It moves through that nadi. Or it can move and comes and surrenders at the heart also. In other words, that nadi is always closed. It's always closed. So question was asked about this. You know, we have 6 hours on here. We'll discuss it on Tuesday. It's 10 past almost, isn't it? 7 o'clock. 6 or 7, is it? So, we'll discuss it next Tuesday. Yeah. It takes time to talk about that. So.
Я надеюсь, что мы поправки, что-то поправки.